Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom he died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Do a little dance for Jesus. You know it. Yep, let me repeat that. Do a little dance for Jesus. Is that a biblically derived statement, as is the title of this message? I believe it is. Give it a shot. See what you think here. Luke 6:22-23, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. Leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." This is chapter 6 of Luke. Luke 6, beginning in verse 22. Now let's read verse 24, the next verse. And here it is. "But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So did their fathers to the false prophets. In days past, as we look back in history, we can see, and we look even now across the landscape of that which pretends to be representing Christ, we see that there are many who are well spoken of by the general population. And Jesus links this to equates this to them being false. Notice, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." Now let's stop and ask ourselves, do all men speak well of you? I hope not, because if you're serving Christ, then you're going to be drawing fire from the enemy. The light of Christ in you is going to be shining into unrepentant, darkened hearts who are going to lash out at you. Woe unto you. Woe. That's a warning. That's one of the woes of Jesus, which is a severe warning. "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Okay, so in this passage actually appears in the book of Matthew and Luke. Matthew's version is in Matthew 5:10-12. Notice verse 11 of Matthew 5. Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Notice, all manner of evil shall be spoken falsely. False accusation is included there, against the righteous. And Jesus says to, in that day, rejoice, that you're worthy, as the apostles put it, to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Now, let's back up a little bit in Luke 6. Notice, and this interesting combination we see here embedded in these words, these prophetic words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, poor, I believe he's talking about not only poor monetarily, but also poor in spirit. That is desperate for God, as we see in Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So verse 21, Luke 6, "Blessed are ye when ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company." Isn't that interesting? Have you ever been shaded, or I guess there's all kinds of other words we could use here, none are coming to mind, but shunned and left out, I should say, because you just didn't fit in? Well, if we fit in with the world, then that's because we are part of them. But if we don't fit in with those who are living in darkness spiritually, it's because we're living in the light. And that should cause us to rejoice that our names are written in heaven, as we read in this same gospel in the book of Luke chapter 10. I believe it's verse 19. We're to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. And it's clear proof when you're rejected by those who are not walking with Christ, even though some of them claim to be. It's because oil and water don't mix. It makes it easy to follow the command of God to come out from among them and be ye separate. That doesn't mean you completely physically separate yourself from all lost sinners. No, not at all. But you are to separate yourself in the way you conduct your life. Because, see, the Bible says, "The Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself." If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are of God, and all things have become new, and all things are of God. That is 2 Corinthians 5:17, 18, 19, and 20, where he said we're ambassadors for Christ. The other verse was Psalm 4:3, where the Lord sets apart, he has set apart those that are godly for himself. Amen. And those that mourn now, perhaps in loneliness, are going to rejoice eternally. Jesus is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And that could very well include, as many speculate, several things included there. The loneliness that we suffered, that's part of being persecuted for Christ, by being shunned and put outside of the company of others for our allegiance to and love for and relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in the Matthew 5 version of this Beatitudes, of these Beatitudes of Christ, in verse 4, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Then he says in verse 10 through 12, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So, consistent with the persecution of God's prophets under the old covenant is because of the light of Christ shining in and through them as they spoke his truth and lived their lives sanctified unto the Lord. Consistent with the persecution they suffered is going to be, he's telling us here, the same persecution from those who choose to walk in darkness instead of in the light of Christ. So of this passage, commentator F.B. Meyer writes this. He says, "We must expect to be persecuted if we hold up the pure light of a consistent life amid the evils of the world. Men hate the light which exposes their misdeeds. They will tolerate you only so long as you leave them alone. But the universal testimony of those who have suffered thus is that the Son of Man walks through the furnace beside his faithful martyrs." F.B. Meyer goes on. He says, "Our holy lives ought to act as salt to arrest the corruption around us. It is said that the presence of a child has arrested many a crime. A sudden silence should fall on certain kinds of conversation when we enter the room, but it is very easy to lose our saltiness, as did Lot in Sodom and the seven churches of Asia. See also Ezekiel 15:2-5. Our lives ought to serve also as light. The spirit of man is a candle, according to Proverbs 20:27. We need to be kindled by the nature of God. Men light candles, and God will light you. Let us burn and shine as John did. Beware of the bushel and ask God to choose your stand." Amen. That's a great prayer at the end, he suggests there. That was F.B. Meyer. We should pray for wisdom. In fact, let's pause now and do that, saints. Scripture explicitly tells us that if any man, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:5. Father, we pray for wisdom in every situation. Lord, you tell us to walk with wisdom toward them that are without, outside of your kingdom. And we ask you to, in each case and in situation for each of your children, Lord, to magnify your grace as to when to take a stand and when not to, and to navigate it with your wisdom. God, we trust you and thank you, and make us ever more sensitive to your Spirit's leading, and quicken us, O God. Give us hearts of flesh. Let us be so easily convicted and led by you, God. We pray in the heart of flesh, the seat of your leading us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and also of this passage, Matthew 5:10-12, concerning persecution, the persecution of the righteous, John Wesley also commentated on it. He said this, "For righteousness' sake," that is, because they have or follow after the righteousness here described, "he that is truly a righteous man, he that mourns, and he that is pure in heart, yet all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." 2 Timothy 3:12. And John Wesley finishes. He says, "The world will always say, 'Away with such fellows from the earth. They are made to reprove our thoughts. They are grievous to us even to behold. Their lives are not like other men's. Their ways are of another fashion,'" unquote. And they certainly are, saints. The life of the believer is in stark contrast to the life of the unbeliever. 1 Timothy 4:12-14 is also another passage, the third here today, on this message concerning persecution. There's so much on this topic. It is a integral part of following Christ. It's unfortunate that we seldom hear these words of Holy Scripture on the topic of persecution. Too many ear ticklers out there trying to play you for your allegiance to them and your attention to and compliance with their ministry and nickels, noses, and numbers. So they stay away from this cardinal biblical teaching we see throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. In fact, Jesus was just referring in the New Testament Scriptures to how the prophets of old were persecuted there in Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Notice 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. In other words, why should we be surprised? And that's why it's so important to comfort one another with these words. I think that's 1 Thessalonians 4:18, and that's in a passage concerning the return of Jesus. We should be comforted in knowing that our Lord is coming back soon. Amen. But also, he foretold that there would be great persecution and trials such as the world has never seen before in the final days in which we now find ourselves living in, leading up to the glorious return of our Savior, the Bridegroom of Heaven, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Peter writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, think it not strange. Do not be surprised concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. There it is. Do a little dance for Jesus. Hallelujah. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You ever notice that the Holy Spirit in you will definitely irritate, if you will, and manifest demons in other people? People you don't even know, you've never even met, or they know nothing about you, but in their spirit, those demons that control them, because you see, Satan, we read in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, is the prince of the power of the air, and he is the master over the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2 tells us. Okay, so anyone that's not under Christ is at least under the influence of Satan himself, if not, in some cases, people are possessed by him. But either way, Satan has free reign and free access to them, and Satan, along with the darkness of their own hearts, is repelled by the light of Christ in us. But Jesus said, let your light so shine. Let it be projected. Let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Now, of this 1 Peter 4 passage we just read, John Wesley says, wonder not at the burning which is among you. This is the literal meaning of the expression. It seems to include both martyrdom itself, which so frequently was by fire, and all the other sufferings joined with or previous to it, which is permitted by the wisdom of God for your trial. Be not surprised at this. And remember that Acts chapter 14, verse 22, when Paul had revisited the believers in a certain city, he said, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And this is just another reason why God put so much in his word about tribulation, about suffering, about afflictions and for the gospel and persecution for the righteousness of Christ in us. There's so much in the Bible. We must be continually reminded so we don't think it's strange when it happens. But rather, we rejoice at it. We know we're being matured by Christ. And as we submit to him, when we begin to obey Jesus by rejoicing when we're persecuted for his sake. Okay, now of this passage in 1 Peter 4:12-14, F.B. Meyer writes, "We are called upon to share our Savior's sufferings, not those of his substitution, but his daily self-denial, the hatred of men, the anguish of his soul over the obstinacy and opposition of the world, that is, for whom he came to die." F.B. continues, he says, "The soldier who is nearest his leader, charging through the melee of the fight, is likely to get the same treatment as is meted out to his prince. It is not strange. It would be strange if it were not so. And if the traits in us that characterize our Lord did not win the same hatred as they won for him." He finishes, he says, "The salvation of the righteous is a task of enormous difficulty. It requires the deadlift of omnipotence. Nothing less will suffice than the infinite grace of the Father, the blood of the Son, and the patience of the Holy Spirit. What will be the fate of those who refuse these? Will they appear at the marriage supper of the Lamb? And if not, where?" What a beautiful closing verse, the committal of the soul, not only to the Savior, but to the Creator. After all, he who made can best understand, adjust, and satisfy the nature which he himself has given. Unquote, F.B. Meyer. And what he's referring to there is verse 19 of this 1 Peter 4 passage, where it says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God," that is, not according to our own wrongdoing, but according to and as we are doing the will of God, let them commit the keeping of their souls to him and well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Amen. He's going to complete that good work he began in us, saints, until the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, which goes hand in hand with this message, this biblical message of persecution. Notice 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Also, remember our Lord Jesus in Luke 21, speaking of the final days in which we now find ourselves. He said when these things, he had given a lot of things that are going to be happening in these final days. And he said, "The Son of Man is coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear with all the signs in the sun and the moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity. The sea, the waves roaring." And again, men's hearts will fear them, those that don't know the Lord. "But the scripture tells us that whoso hearkeneth unto me," God says, "shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." That is, Proverbs 1:33 also comes to mind. What comes to mind is Psalm 119:165. "Great peace," not just peace, but "great peace have all they that love thy law," thy word, "and nothing shall offend them." There's never been a time in history when we should be more thankful that we have a tangible Bible to read. Amen. Because great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's something of divine fortification, nutrification, an imbuing of the strength, the wisdom, and the comfort and assurance of God when His words are ingested into our spirit daily. Amen. As we pore prayerfully and diligently over the Holy Scriptures, reading them daily and seeking as we seek the Lord. And notice what He says in verse 28 here as we close. When these things, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want to encourage you to get a hold of and meditate on all of these beautiful Bible verses. And, you know, full disclosure, saints, we shouldn't be dodging or evading and hiding these beautiful passages of reality. A lot of people in the modern church who haven't heard messages like this on persecution and martyrdom and stuff like that, biblical truth like that, they're going to be shocked. See, they're being led down a faulty path. They've been given a false hope, you know, that everything's just going to be easy and work out well. Well, it's not. Jesus said there's going to be great, great tribulation, such as the world has never seen before. And some people that have been saved in the past are being sold down the river, if you will, and they are going to be very surprised, as the Bible told us not to be, here in these readings from Scripture that we shared in this message. Here it is. I was looking for a verse here. Matthew 24:21, Jesus said, "For then shall be great tribulation," not just tribulation, but great tribulation, "such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So notice that there is going to be such great tribulation. It's apparently and obviously going to make the days of the Holocaust of Hitler pale in comparison. "For then shall be tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." But we know that we serve a great God, saints, and we can lift up our head and look up, because our redemption draweth nigh. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. "I will say of the Lord," Psalm 91, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness," such as the next virus they come out with, right? Right. Let me read it again. Verse 6, Psalm 91. "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness." You're not going to live in fear of being sick. That's not godly at all. "The Prince of Peace gives peace to those that truly know Him. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Amen. Is God your habitation, beloved? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That is Psalm chapter 19. God bless you, saints. Glad we had these moments together. I want to encourage you to look at the persecution category on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just put in safeguardyoursoul.com and then /persecution. Or there's a drop-down menu. Just hit P and it'll take you right there. We've got some great stuff, very encouraging, on persecution. And let me say this doctrine and these scriptures on persecution and the reality thereof have never been more relevant or pertinent than they are right now. We've got one post called Persecution Audios. I'm going to go ahead and link them at the bottom of this page on persecution, on this message actually. And I'll link the heading also. Just put in persecution audios into the search box. That'll also get you there. God bless you, saints. Thank you so much for those who are supporting. I can tell you that your support is absolutely vital. Absolutely vital. Many are being reached. And as you know, those who endeavor to disclose, to preach, and declare the full and whole counsel of God are not going to be very popular. So your gifts make everything flow, and it allows us to reach more and more people. 1 Corinthians 3:9, as we close, we, that's plural, you and I, members of the body of Christ, we are laborers together with God. Amen. We're in the foxhole with the King of Kings, as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're going to endure hardness. That's 2 Timothy 2. And again, 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers, you and I, all of the members of the body of Christ. It's a team effort. We are laborers together with God. God bless you, friends. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month. And your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site. And you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon. And you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so. And a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.